Hello and welcome to the DebtWire podcast. I am your host, Madalina Jakob, co-managing editor of DebtWire North America. Today, I am glad to be joined by Brian Himmett, head of structured capital at Strategic Value Partners, a global investment firm focused on opportunistic credit and a market leader in the private credit with $18 billion of AUM. Brian joined SVP in 2022 after 12 years at Beachpoint Capital, where he was a partner and portfolio manager co-leading the private credit business. Brian previously served as a vice president at Bank of America Securities in the new product development group. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
I would like to kickstart the discussion by looking at some recent developments at SVP. SVP historically provided deep loans and rescue financing, but decided in the past years to broaden its scope by expanding its structured capital team. So could you tell us, how did you decide to spearhead this initiative, and how much has the private credit team grown since you took the helm?
Me joining Strategic Value Partners was really a case of the right opportunity at the right time. SVP has a history of providing private credit financings, and this is an area where I had a lot of expertise. And for me, it was a great opportunity to join a firm that has a tremendous history with a lot of resources to bring in building out this effort. We've hit the ground running in terms of building out the team. We've added 9 people to the group that's split between the US and Europe. And as we've been building out the group, we've been really fortunate to have a lot of interest in our initiatives. And we've been able to build out a strong core group that's been focused on this effort.
I mean, you ramp out pretty quickly. I know you have a flexible mandate when it comes to investing, and you shy away from regular direct lending or performing mezzanine investments. Could you tell us more about what exactly are you focusing on?
At its most basic, our focus is on higher yielding private credit deals. These are generally to companies that lack access to traditional forms of financing. So think direct lenders, the syndicated markets, or the traditional bank markets. From a geographic perspective, we focus on the US, Northern, Western Europe, and we have a flexible mandate where, from a structure perspective, we do things all the way from senior secured financing to junior lien or preferred deals. The common thread to everything that we're doing is that we provide solutions. We can think creatively about businesses, about structure. You think about terms like PIK flexibility, and we're comfortable underwriting complex situations because that's what we do as a firm.
Brian, this is very interesting because we've seen a lot of complex capital structures in need of creative financing. And I'm curious, how do you source your deals?
We have a lot of different resources that we bring to bear when we think about sourcing. The starting point for everything that we do is we concentrate and think about what opportunities are there where our capital has a reason to be relevant to that situation. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. One example of what this means is we're active in situations where we already have an existing position in a capital structure, or we're existing lenders to a company, and there's a need for a new creative solution, refinancing, or a liquidity facility. Our existing knowledge of the company and our relationship with the management team and the owners allows us to be fast and provide certainty to the company, oftentimes in situations that themselves are very uncertain. And there's lots of situations where when you're in these types of deals, the management teams, they have a lot going on. They have a lot of competing demands on their time, and they need a lender who can accommodate the realities of the situation, but also allow them to do what matters most, which is spend their time focusing on the business.
I'd be very interested to hear your comments about the current state of the market. The BSL market is wide open, creating more competition for direct lenders. Where do you find opportunities?
You're right. Syndicated markets are open for business, and direct lending has become increasingly competitive, not just amongst the direct lenders themselves, but between the direct lending market and the syndicated markets. At the same time, there's also been considerable capital raised in mezz strategies, which are focused on junior capital deals in performing businesses. These are LBOs for high multiple businesses. We operate in the seam between those two strategies. This is an area where there's been less dedicated capital formation. These can be for companies that are cyclical, they're non-sponsored, they're undergoing a transition in their business model. And as a result, they don't fit very neatly within the credit boxes of the traditional direct lending model or the dedicated performing mezz model. We like these because this is what allows us to create interesting opportunities, and it really fills a void that exists in the market.
Brian, this leads to my next point. I'm curious if you've seen any margin pressure now that public capital markets have opened up.
In Q1, the leveraged loan market had the highest volume of new issuance that the market has seen in 2 years. And new issue spreads for leveraged loans tightened over 100 basis points. The regular way direct lending market has had to compete, has had to keep up in terms of defending itself against the syndicated market repricing its deals. The more opportunistic deals where we focus on, they're less correlated to this dynamic, but they don't exist in a vacuum. The reason that pricing for these deals has been stickier is that when companies are evaluating a flexible capital solution, they're looking for things beyond just the cheapest cost of capital. They're focused on structure, they're focused on terms, they're focused on certainty of execution. And so that's allowed our part of the market, the opportunistic market, to be able to hold on to pricing a little bit more than you've seen in the on-the-run parts of the market.
That's very interesting. Why does this gap exist, public versus private, and how is SVP positioning itself to provide this type of capital?
The gap exists for a lot of reasons. A very basic one is the syndicated markets or the bank markets can offer a very efficient cost of capital. And you've seen that empirically in the markets. Private credit new issue spreads have historically been 100 to 200 basis points wide of the syndicated market. Now, this cheaper cost of capital comes with a trade-off, which is less flexibility. The syndicated market has a tight credit box, as does the direct lending markets. Our focus has been on structure, pick flexibility, use of proceeds, all the types of things that people are willing to pay a premium for in order to accommodate the uniqueness of their individual situation.
Could you tell us in what specific sectors or industries do you see financing opportunities right now?
We're seeing opportunities across a range of industries and geographies. Europe is one example. This is a geography that has slow growth. You have a manufacturing sector that's going through a protracted slump. This makes financing harder, and it certainly makes finding a regular way refinancing harder. Even for companies that are fundamentally good companies, they get caught up in this dynamic. Another example are businesses that have cyclicality like industrials, or businesses that are dealing with the aftermath of COVID even 4 years later. Specifically, we see businesses that have near-term maturities where they went through a big COVID boom and they have not right-sized their cost structures to deal with the fall off in demand. And they're also getting hit with things like cost inflation or destocking. And again, these are solid businesses with a reason to exist, but they need the runway to right-size their business and grow back into the equity value that's inherent in the company. And I'd say lastly, there's obviously a big dislocation we see in the real estate market, particularly in office or in Europe. We're looking at these deals, but the fall off in valuations has been so large in this sector that it leaves a lot of these situations just fundamentally overlevered. So, and oftentimes they need more than a financing solution. So we're being very selective about which deals we're lending to in the real estate space.
Because you're not necessarily in the business of loaning to own in a way, no? Or
our business is about capital solutions. It's about partnering with companies that, again, that need flexibility and that need a tailor-made solution for what they're going through at that point in time.
You were talking about businesses underwater. How do you expect the default rate activity in the private credit space to evolve?
If you look back, historically, default rates have been low in private credit. A reasonable portion of that is due to A&E activity that happens quietly between the private credit providers, the direct lenders, and sponsors. My expectation is I don't see any signs of that slowing down. At some point, I think there comes to a time when you start to see pressure to resolve these situations. But you know, we've seen situations that take many, many years to develop. In the near term, I don't expect any big movements from the past couple of years of activity.
And shifting to another topic, Brian, what percentage of the direct lending is done to private equity sponsored companies versus non-PE sponsored companies from your experience?
The direct lending market has historically, and it still is, predominantly a sponsor-backed market. This is part of what creates the opportunity for us, where we find opportunities in less crowded seams in the market, and non-sponsored companies, public companies, family founder-owned businesses don't fall so neatly into those credit boxes, and it creates interesting opportunities for us.
Because one of your latest deals involved a PE-owned company, Brookfield-owned Schoeller Packaging, one of Europe's leading manufacturers of plastic packaging systems. And SVP provided a $125 million five-year term loan to take out bonds that were maturing this year, while the sponsor injected equity. How did the sponsor's support of the business via an equity infusion determine your decision to invest in the company?
Schoeller is a recent deal that we did with Brookfield that we're really excited about. The company is a manufacturer of reusable packaging crates. They're a leader in the industry. You'll see their products in things like food production, industrial applications.
Beer packaging, like you've seen all the famous like Stella Artois and the Belgium beers, they use their crates.
It's across a wide range of applications. A big use case is in the food industry for sure. Schoeller is a good business in a growing market with strong ESG credentials, which provides a tailwind to the business. Brookfield's equity injection helped right-size the balance sheet and was important to helping facilitate a recap of the business. Our capital plus Brookfield's support helped position the company really well to drive future growth. When you look at something like Schoeller, it's a great example where you have a sound business that needs transitional capital to get them to the next stage in their company, in their life. And if you look at something like Schoeller, it's a great example where you have a good business that needs transitional capital and requires a solution from a financing standpoint that's not linear. In this case, it was about finding the right mix of financing versus equity and tailoring the structure to meet the needs of the business.
In conclusion, I would love to know, what is your outlook for the private credit market for this year and beyond, given the current macro environment?
First, I think the outlook for lower rates isn't as certain as people thought it was at the end of last year, particularly when you look at recent Fed comments suggesting a delay in rate cuts. The macro environment is tougher than it looked. Inflation has been sticky and persistent. And while the market seems serene when you look at it from above, there's a fair amount of turmoil that's going on underneath the surface. These scenarios are positive for our business. Higher rates put a premium on creative financing solutions, especially when you think about things like PIK flexibility. One stat to call out. So 40% of the high yield market is facing a maturity in the next 3 years. Higher rates make regular way refinancings of these maturities more challenging. Now, sponsors, they're resourceful and they'll figure out solutions for the vast majority of these maturities. But what these higher rate environment does is it makes our capital more attractive and more relevant to a broader swath of the market. And this is what makes us really excited about the opportunities that we think we're going to see this year.
That's fantastic. Ryan, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for taking the time to share your valuable insights.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you to our listeners for checking out this episode of Debt Wired. As always, you can subscribe or download every episode via Apple and find thousands of articles and insights, research, and more from our team at debtwired.com. See you next time.